The Republic Broadcasting Network.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Okay, well, we're back. This is Ralph Kermit Winroad II with the Ralph Winroad Show, coming to you live out of Alaska. And we've got the Internal Revenue Criminals. And I'm not overstating it. It's going to be an interesting situation. And I'm going to go over this a time or two here because I just could not believe when I found this latest Supreme Court case. Anyway, getting back to this definition here, what they do is they link terms so that the average person will may not have access to it. I don't know if Cornell Law does or not. They may, or I don't know, use that as Westlaw. But you, if you don't understand how to read their nonsense, or their con. It ain't nonsense, it's their con. They link definitions. So then you have to keep that straight. Okay, well, wait a minute. I was talking about this one. So this definition over here works back over here. Then I go down to the next one. Well, that definition still works in the same thing. So they have the definition of federal office. And they say go to 30101 of Title 52, number 3. Okay, so I go to that one. It says federal office means the office of the president, vice president, or senator, or representative in, or delegate, or resident commissioner to the Congress. Now, why in the hell would I even be authorized to vote for anything out there? Just because they don't put it on the ballot, why would I authorize it? They're putting me in the same thing. Thank you very much, with the citizens of the United States and the District of Columbia is out here in the several states in the land of Oz. And it goes down a little farther. The term voter registration agency. This is also part of the National Voter Registration Act, which I love. I mean, I love this. That's great. This links it. Means the office. Means office designated by 506A1. So we got to go to another place. I can't. So you can't put this all together. Designation. So we go to 502, 52 USC, 20506. Each state shall designate agencies for the registration of voters and elections for federal officers or for federal office. Well, what the hell? Wait a minute. Well, where's my state offices? Oh, that's right. We don't need them anymore. Because, you see, we have the definition of voter registration law that says that the state of Minnesota, in all caps, the state of North Carolina, state of Texas, is a state of the United States. It's a municipal entity under and part of the United States by proper sentence usage. And the District of Columbia, we got to have that in there because we got citizens of the United States there, too. We got them locked down with their own stuff. So now we got the state is acting because it is part of a municipal entity, just like a county would be part of a state or a city is part of a state. It's a municipal entity, so it can legislate for a citizen of the United States, as long as we're dumb enough to sign up for it. So we've got that problem solved now. We have these several states legislating for a political group called citizens of the United States that have no right of suffrage. Cecil, inside or outside of D.C. The Supreme Court has said so on both sides, so we're the same. And we're the same inside and outside, tied to the nice to the national or to the Internal Revenue Code, which actually, by the way, has never been adopted into Title 26. Another con, but we'll just say it is okay. So we have an essential element. We have to tie these essential elements. So if I'm a citizen of the United States in D.C., I am subject to the Internal Revenue Code. If I'm outside, I am subject to the Internal Revenue Code. If I am a citizen of the United States on both sides, I have no right of suffrage. Damn, this sounds like a hell of a good way to have a republic, you think? And then they go ahead and say, guess what? If you want to be of that status, Congress has no limits on taxation because of lack of representation. You're screwed. Now we can explain something else. Why did they recede the federal income tax back to the state? In the District of Columbia, they can go straight for it, technically. Well, how are they going to pull that off outside? Oh, that's right. Because, you see, we're a state of the United States. So we're a municipal entity, so we are then empowered to collect taxes as a state of the United States. Well, that worked out really well. That was damn good. That was pretty slick, actually. So that's why they receded and allow the, quote, state of Minnesota, state of that. That's why they're all interlocked together on their income tax forms. Because these states that we want to have replaced the several states are a municipal entity. And they have their own constitutions and stuff. That's fine. Territories, they have municipal entities too. There's not a problem with that. It's just the con of hiding it. So now we got that problem resolved. Well, we got a couple other problems though. Because you see, this real state that's out there, several states, and the other one that's supposed to be the real United States, we got another problem. Because you see, technically, the state people have to pay federal income tax. But federal, quote, citizens of the United States, federal citizens, same thing now, they don't have to pay state. Well, how do we get around that? We have a problem here. Oh, well, that's easy enough to solve. I'm going to go up and pull this legislative history up here. It is called the 1939 Public Salary Act. And what they said is, they said, well, let's see. If you're a state entity and we're a federal entity, we will agree as a federal side to allow the state to tax our federal folks, citizens of the United States. And as long as we do the reciprocal, the state can tax the feds can tax the state. So we'll just agree in writing that we will do that. And that is found in 4 U.S.C. 111. That's one place it's found. There's another place, too, in Title V. But 4 U.S.C. 111. Same taxation of federal employees on income tax. Okay? So now we have a congressional arrangement, these contracts, cooperative agreements, memorandum of understanding, whatever kind of a thing they want to put on them, that they never disclose in all criminal and civil stuff. They never disclose any of this. Yet. They're gonna. Because I'm providing research to Toppin's case up in Massachusetts, and we're gonna have a meeting of the minds here before some of this stuff gets over with. I guarantee you, they're gonna walk away. Because they do not want out what I'm talking about. With evidence. And where would we find that? Oh, well, let's go to the 1939, which I put out in the thing today, Public Salary Act, Senate Report 112. It talks about consent after 1938 so they can tax each other. It says here, economic aspects. This is on page 3. At the present time, federal employees are subject to federal income taxes, but are exempt from state income taxes. State and local employees, on the other hand, are subject to state income taxes, but are exempt from federal income taxes. Well, what the hell happened? Did we have an amendment in 1938? They're both exempt, unless engaged in proprietary functions. Well, we'll just get around and agree that we'll sign. Well, what's even more amazing, they call it federal income tax. Federal income tax. It's unbelievable. This read of this legislative history. And it says right in here, the taxpayers are citizens of the United States and are bound to contribute to its support. Just so. Right here. I believe it. Oh, I did. I forgot about the caller. I'm sorry here. I got wound up here on Gary in Georgia. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I got wound up here. I get wound up like a 10-day clock. Go ahead, Gary.
Hi, Ralph. I just like to report that Georgia citizens and citizens from other states protested Fort Benning, Georgia, for the School of America, where they sent a dictator from Central America to school, and that was in 2003. And also, if you look at the OCGA 50-2-22 annotated, it'll show your case there that where the feds arrested someone in Zebulon, Georgia, for robbing a post office in Georgia. But Georgia said you can't do it because that was federal territory. So I thought I'd just tell you, I'd tell you that. And also, 5 U.S.C. section 5516, 5520 taxes federal employees, and that's just
right.
One
that's the other one that I hadn't quoted. That is. That's where they also agreed to tax each other. Why do we have to have that if they actually have the authority? Because they don't.
One other thing I'd like to bring up to you for listeners is that the private employers are not delegates of the secretary, and if you look at the IRS handbook of delegation orders, they're not listed. They list the secretary or his delegate will be duly authorized to make rules and regulations, and as you have quoted, substantive regulations, not interpretive regulations. So
it's all smoke. Yes,
sir. All the federal unions and so forth, they violate the National Labor Relations Act and all the labor laws by acting as delegates of a federal employment agency.
Yep.
And I lost some pension because they wouldn't listen to me. But anyway, thanks a lot. You have a good program, sir.
But, well, thanks for listening to it and research. I like people to think. You know, the other thing, subsidy regulations, most people don't know what those are. I'm going to take just a minute. They have the first effective law, and they have to be published in the Federal Register. They only have application to a citizen of the United States. Do you know how many subsidy regulations are under 5 U.S.C., B, C, and D? They have a proposed and a final rule. Do you know how many of them I've seen? None. The IRS in the front part of their book on the first part, you go look on the Federal Register, they leave out paragraph 4. They say, we ain't doing those stinking things. You dumb idiots out there, who the hell's going to do that? That's called the administrative state, the headless fourth branch of government. Right out of the research of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. What a piece of garbage that guy was. He instituted the March 4th, 1934, 33, I think it is, when he got in. That was the beginning of the headless fourth branch of government, executive orders and stuff, and the administrative state. That's when it officially came into power. Yep, got that too. I love their legislative history and all this stuff, where these guys tell what they're doing. Anyway, getting back to this. What I was talking about, because I'm going to go over this again. They're talking about here, and they go on down here till they get to a page. Let's see, what is it here? Page, they talk about here, I say the 16th Amendment did not extend the taxing power of Congress, but merely removed the need for apportionment. So then nothing changed. So 16th Amendment's all a bunch of nonsense. But what is important here is when they get down to the, this is on page 14. It should be noted that included in the class of employees to whom the commissioner may give relief under this section will be employees of the type involved in the case of Halvering versus Thorell, 303 U.S. 218. Since the decision of the Gerhardt, G-E-R-H-A-R-D-T, case clarified and restated the basis for liability for such persons for federal income tax. That Supreme Court case, which I sent out today in the list. I get over here and open up the folder that I got here. It lists out who is called federal income tax. Yeah, federal income tax. And let's see here. It is found in, I don't have that. It's found in 304 U.S. 405. It's a 1938 case. Gerhardt versus Wilson. And you go down to page, it talks about here, individuals who personally derive profit or compensation from their employment and carrying out the functions were deemed to be subject to federal income tax, footnote C, and it has a whole ton of different cases and people that are required under federal income tax. Do you know who federal income tax has application to? Not you or me. If you want to play to be a citizen of the United States, well, get it on. Don't let anybody hold you back, common sense or knowledge. It's all about the federales, the federal folks. They list all kinds of situations here. Back in a minute. Thank you.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Well, we're back here. And I'm going to go over this again. This is a hard thing to visualize. I'm going to get put into one line. If you are a citizen of the United States in the District of Columbia, you have no right of suffrage. But you are subject, because I have the code, to the Internal Revenue Code. If you are outside of the District of Columbia, you are of the same thing. You have no right of suffrage. Supreme Court has said so. Different cases, same thing. And you are still subject to the Internal Revenue Code. Nothing's changed. Those two things are exactly the same. If they're the same, it says in the Supreme Court that Congress can tax a citizen of the United States. There's no limit on taxation. They can do whatever the hell they want. Same thing outside. I'm same citizen of the United States with no right of suffrage. Nothing's changed. We're following the same form, using the same code, so we're locked in the essential elements of that. Well, how do they deal with the, quote, several states and the federal employees? Well, they have the 1939 Voter Registration Public Salary Act. They say, hey, I'll let you tax me and we'll tax you. No, and people will never figure it out. And they go in and say, well, there was no right to do this. So we have to agree to do it. So I'll agree. If I'm a state, I'll pay federal income tax. If you're a fed, you'll pay state income tax. That's interesting. You think? Then they talk about federal income tax. And guess what? It only has to do, actually, with the employees that are state or federal, that are citizens of the United States. They actually even were a citizen of the United States. But in that thing, they cite the Supreme Court case that goes back and ain't got one damn thing to do with you or me or the fence post. I love it. Now what they're going to do? Well, do they use federal income tax? Oh, yeah, all the time. Let me just give you a current case right now that's going on. A Calpines case, criminal. Western District of North Carolina, 1-18-CR92. They are citing federal income taxes. Thank you. Three times in that. He did not pay federal income taxes. He self-assessed. He did not do pay, blah, 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 three times. So they use federal income taxes. They have to at some point in their stuff. Because that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. This is a killer. The thing is that really shocked the heck out of me is that Congress, there is no limitation on Congress to tax citizens of the United States. They have no right of suffrage, no representation. And the Supreme Court said, well, there's no limits on the power of Congress to tax. Richard, New Hampshire, question, comment?
Yeah, I got a couple things, Ralph. First of all, before I get to the end of the program and stuff, I hope you and all the listeners that are listening to you, Happy New Year.
Right, Happy New Year to you too and everybody listening.
That's right. And the other thing, first of all, let's see if we can settle a couple things here. You know, like Title 26, it's never been passed into positive law. It's voluntary.
Right.
100% voluntary. And the thing that people don't understand, the only statutes in there that have any authority at all, if you look at them and you read them real close, it's all in Title 27 for alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. There are no statutes in Title 26 for the income tax that they come and grab you. They have to use Title 27. That's where the enforcement statutes are at. That's how crooked the whole scam is, right? People don't understand that. But like I said, I mean, it took me a long time, Ralph, I started listening to you, I was always on the effect that I knew that Title 26 is 100% voluntary. But it's the statutes that they use. Right? And I'm saying to myself, how can they use Title 27, bring it into Title 26, to bring charges against you? Right? I'm just saying, the whole thing is a total scam, Ralph. Always has been.
Well, continue. There is a thing in that lists out the tax evasion. And it lists out all the different things that they prosecute. I've never seen it anywhere else, and I've not had the time to research it out. And it would shock the living heck out of you because it's nothing about what you think what it should be. Go ahead.
No. And not only that, but a long time ago, I used to tell people, I said, if you go and you punch in, Title 18, that's the code for any criminal effect, federal offense that you can be involved with. And if you punch in income tax evasion, at one time, it never showed up, Ralph. It wasn't there because there's no such thing as income tax evasion. So what they did after a whole bunch of people started going there, what they did is, there's income tax evasion in Puerto Rico and different things like that.
Hold on. We got to go pay bills. Hold on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real.
100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, well, we're back here. Richard, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing about changing your status. When I changed my status to a citizen of New Hampshire, I said to myself, "Is this going to work? Maybe it won't work." I believed you. I always did because I've been talking to you now for I don't know how many years now, 5-6 years. But it came to fruition one day. My wife got a letter, a summons, right, to be on a court for a court duty, and. She says to me, she says, "I really don't want to go." I said, "Well, you don't have to." She says, "Why not?" Because I said, "You changed your status. I said, you're a citizen of New Hampshire." I said, "All you have to do is put that on the paperwork." And I said, "As soon as they see that," I said, "they're not going to want any part of you." So she put it on the paperwork, because you have to fill out, whether you're a crook or a thief or anything like that. But anyways, long story short, the next day she says, "Your services will no longer be needed." So anybody right. out there who's on the, anybody out there, Ralph, who's on the fence, doesn't think that it's not going to work. It does work. Change your status. It works.
That too. You have to tell. You have to come out of Babylon and tell them who you be.
That's right. And like I said, my wife went from being a skeptic to the point where she says, "Oh, okay." But I just want to let the people on. If you're on the fence and you don't believe it or you don't think it's you can change your status and that you can. Like I said, my wife was scheduled to go to jury duty. She changed her status to a citizen of New Hampshire. And then the very next day, she got an email back and says, your services will not be needed.
See, I would have bummer when I used to get the permanent fund. That's how when you get the benefit, they put you on the list. And they always say, "Is anybody in here not a citizen of the United States?" I raise my hand, walk up to the judge. She says, what's the deal? I says, well, I'm a citizen of Alaska. I'm not a citizen of the United States. She says, we don't need you. Thank you. Bye. And these other, I turn around and other people say, why the hell is he? Where? How is he getting out of this? Where is he going? See, I would
I mean, it works. If the people, I mean, if you're a skeptic out there, you know, forget it. You know, change your status with them. You know, stop being a dummy. All right, I'm going to let you go, Ralph, because I know you want to talk about that, but I just wanted to bring up a couple quick points. That's all.
Sure. Okay, yeah, great.
All right. Happy.
Who are you? Who is your soul going to be accountable to? When you are born on the land in any one of the several states, whether you like it or not, you are a citizen of that sovereign country known as the several states. If you're born in North Carolina, you're a citizen of North Carolina. If you're born in Texas, you're a citizen of Texas. If you're born in Minnesota, you're a citizen of Minnesota, whether you like it or not. It comes with being born, called law of the land. And the only way you can leave that land is expatriation. You can relocate to another one of the several states and become a citizen of Alaska, a citizen of California, God help you. You can expatriate. And what they try to do is you say, oh, well, okay, how do I prove I'm not a citizen of the United States? That's an important thing, you think? We'll go to 8 United States Code 1101A22. Let me pull it up so I can read it exactly. It's right there. It's on your passport, too. Passports are constitutional. They don't tell us this stuff. But why would they? Because these guys are out there to overthrow our republic. And we're part of the slave plantation of Congress. They tell us what they're doing. We just don't, it's hard to read it, understand it. So we go to 8 U.S.C. 1101A22. And what does it say? We'll do it here. It's the term, quote, national of the United States. So I'm a national of the United States, end quote, means a citizen of the United States or B, capital B, a person who, though not a citizen of the United States, owes permanent allegiance to the United States. That's us, if we knew who we are. That's us. And it's on your passport. It'll say citizen/national of the United States on your passport on the right-hand side. Look for it, about halfway down. I'm a national of the United States, and I am the one that is B, 8 U.S.C. A, little a, parenthesis, print 22, parenthesis, capital B. That's me. They are different. They're right here together in the same freaking definition. So there must be two of us, two different statuses in these United States. Not the United States, these United States. Also the several states or the union of states. So who do you want to be? 8 U.S.C. 911, 18 U.S.C. 911. It's a felony to claim to be a citizen of the United States. You can't prove it. How would I prove it? First of all, I get the status, and I've got to get around, and I've been going to work on these, but when I don't, there's a reason, because I always got stuff that's coming up that I want to add to it. But when you put your status into the public record, it becomes self-authenticating when you get certified copies. Under Evidence Rule 901, number 7. I say I am, and I'm done under the penalties of perjury. And your evidence is? Because I got it right here. If I got a passport, it says right here, I can be a national of the United States, citizen of the United States, or I'm permanent allegiance. Please provide your evidence, real evidence, not hearsay, smoke and mirrors. Where is your evidence? I can sign documents under the law of necessity, because we can't get out of Babylon. We're stuck in it. But we can just move ourselves out of it in certain areas and where they will leave us alone. I ran a business with no IRS from 1995, 2001. Yep. 13 employees until I had to close because of what I did with Gulf War Syndrome stuff. I never paid one penny to the municipality of Anchorage. They used to send me a tax every year on my inventory. And I read their thing. I said, oh, it says right here, it's your inventory. Well, if you'll get around and send me some more money, I'd like some more telephones and stuff for inventory, and I'll be glad to pay you a percentage. I sent them an affidavit every year. Never heard another peep out of those bastards. Every year I did that. I started in 1985, and I closed my business in 2001. Never paid one penny to them. So, let me see how much time we got here left. I'm going to go over this again because it's so important. When you start to get this concept down, a citizen of the United States in the District of Columbia has no rights of suffrage. You have no right for representation. And Congress has unlimited powers of taxation if you're a citizen of the United States in the District of Columbia for the national government. The same thing exists outside of D.C. because the court has said if you want to be a citizen of the United States under the 15th Amendment, to vote nonsense for citizens of the United States provides no right of suffrage or elective franchise. Exactly the same. So we're screwed if y'all want to sign up for that. And when you hold elections outside and when you hold elections inside under the National Voter Registration Act, it's only for the national offices. President, vice president, all that, and it's not even the constitutional ones. Same. Where's the state officers? This is why when you start researching all of your several states, they're always... They change the name of the courts, there's no civil commissions, there's no proper oath of office, there's no proper bond, on and on and on. It's because there are no state officers. They can't, because there's no elections for them. The republic's been overthrown. Does the District of Columbia, citizen of the United States, use in IRS code definitions? Absolutely. I just cited one. Do they use it outside? Absolutely. So how then, because the 14th Amendment says only Congress can legislate for citizens of the United States, oh, well, let's just put in the National Voter Registration Act and we'll have put a definition in. State means state of the United States. So that means the state that's legislating is a municipal entity under part of United States, proper English, state of the United States, like territory of the United States, son of God, comes from. So they legislate for citizens of the United States. Works, doesn't it? And then it's reseated because guess what? The federal income tax, the states and the feds have a contract back and forth with each other so they can tax each other. But for us peasants out here, well, let's just get around and we'll hoodwink them. We'll have the state legislate for citizens of the United States because they signed up, they voted to have these people go in there. As citizens of the United States, a political thing. And then, oh, by the way, what's another one which I haven't mentioned. You see, since how we've got all this done, people do not know that Congress, it says Congress, and it's the Congress of the United States of America assembled. Of the United States of America assembled. Well, you see, since 1913, when the 17th Amendment passed, there's no longer any senators of the United States. They're now United States senators because they're elected by the citizens of the United States that have no right of suffrage. There's no parties to the Constitution, so since 1913, we have United States of America as a sovereign body politic. That's Congress. I haven't proved that one, but it is. We're going to prove it soon. Because under the Articles of Confederation, there was no executive, there's no judicial. So how do we reach the citizens of the United States? How do we overlay this? Oh, I know what we'll do. Let's come up with the Federal Register. And executive orders. We'll just issue executive orders. And we'll call them law. Franklin Delano Roosevelt did that. And we'll have agencies. And we'll just say, well, they have the force and effect of law. We have substantive regulations, interpretive, and all this other, and there's no substantive regulations. It's all a con. By the way, something that's really important I want to get in. Some of the judges now that don't like what's called the Chevron deference and the AVER deference, where they take regulations over statutes, that may get overturned. Because those regulations that they're using in the Supreme Court are not subsidy regulations. They don't have force and effect of law, and they do not reach the citizens of the several states. But how do you argue all this? How do you get it into a brief? Sounds nice to talk about it. Well, that's what I'm working on with this habeas corpus and to get filed by Wednesday. But these concepts, if we can prove the citizen of the United States has no right of suffrage in D.C., we can prove it has nothing outside of D.C., well, that's a major issue. And you can tax it because they're using internal IRS code in D.C. and statute, and they're using it outside, so that's the same. And we have the state 1939 Public Salary Act. These guys are working back and forth. But then we have something called the federal income tax that's identified in the 1939 Public Salary Act. And the Supreme Court lists out all the people it has application to. Well, guess what? They don't even have an application to us at all if we're citizens of the United States. Only unless we're doing business with these feds as in that status. Why the hell would I want to do that? Of course, then we have the other thing called venue. Well, in D.C., obviously, I'm in D.C., so there's not an argument. Because the Congress does as a state and as a national government. Well, outside, we got a problem. Oh, I know what let's do. Let's do the Buck Act. And we will make you deemed to be in the federal area within the outside boundaries. So we take all the outside boundaries of North Carolina. And you are deemed then to be in a federal area, so now you can act as a federal citizen, called a citizen of the United States. Yeah, we'll fix that problem. So the venue problem's fixed. That's why in the these courts, they always say you're found. They don't do subject matter jurisdiction, only the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals in D.C., Article 3. It's the only Article 3 court left. Other than the Supreme Court of the United States. The Federal Court of Claims is an Article 1 court. We're going to get there yet. It's getting all this foundational stuff to where these guys will, like the Minnesota case on that reduced to judgment, they walk away. They don't want this out. That's why I'm doing this show and put out the information today for the IRS list. And I have to stay afloat here, pay my bills and stuff. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking for nothing else. Because I want to continue this research. I want to pound on these guys. I'm 76, and I want to be around 120, and I want to pound on these lying bastards day in and day out. Oh, I hate liars. I hate liars. Unbelievable. I hate thieves. They're stealing from we, the people, and they're lying to us. These people like Pelosi and Schumer, what? I mean, I'm... Honest to God, they're antichrist. That's all you can say, and that's being polite. Truth is a tough master because people will pound on you when you start speaking the truth. And it takes experience to be able to back up your truth when you make a statement. Like this citizen of the United States stuff. What happened to the citizen of the several states? What happened to the before the 1993 Voter Registration Act or the Civil Rights, Civil Voters Act of 1964, I think it was, or 65? How did we get presidents elected then? We didn't have citizens of the United States. We had people signing up as a citizen of their state. How did we operate before 14 Stat 27 in 1866 to have the same rights as white citizens? Well, I thought we had a republic. We did. Except you and me, we got hornswoggled by these lying, scheming, decadent congressmen and others. And until we find out who we are, welcome to Congress's plantation, and say howdy to Schumer and Pelosi, because they are such fair-minded, equal people. We want to open our borders to the billions of people out there, because we owe it to them. Really. We love them MS 5th or 13 people. We love when they come over here in our country and start gangs and rape and pillage and steal and kill people. It's a good thing. Illegal shooting cops. Oh, that's a good thing. We just kill them cops. All these cops are all bad, obviously. I wonder if the people that have the families of those cops have the same meaning, feeling. Probably not. Back in a minute.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just wondering if any of the great products you have, I could use this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Well, we're back here, and this is one of the, in this case, I sent it out today in the group, and it's HEALD versus the District of Columbia, 1922 case. There is no constitutional provision which so limits the power of Congress that taxes can be imposed only on those who have political representation, called political rights. So if you don't have political rights, you're done. Citizens of the United States have no political rights. They have civil rights. Oh, absolutely. Corporations have civil rights. A citizen of France owning land in North Carolina has civil rights under the law of nations. Yeah. So we go to court. Everybody's treated equally. Everybody's taxed equally. I don't have a problem with all that. That's civil rights. Well, how about political rights? You can't have a Republican form of government without political rights because you have to be a qualified elector of one of the several states. You have to be on the land. You have to be entitled to the right of suffrage in the elective franchise to elect public officers. There are no public officers. Nobody up there. That's what people can't get, don't understand. These people, their oaths are smoke. They always change the words around. There hasn't been a president of the United States, I don't know about Reagan or Trump, since FDR. He changed he inserted the name in the constitutional oath and the Constitution of the United States since 1934 or 33. Or 33 or 34, I forget which. Nobody. There's nobody home. The oaths, if they don't have exactly the proper oath and if they are not authorized and empowered by qualified electors, there's no public officers. That's why all the researchers, you can do all the research. And you can just, I've chased my tail so many times getting all the oaths and all the no lack of civil commissions and on changing the name of the courts. And why? Now I know why. Because they're all operating under the plenary power of Congress. United States of America is a sovereign body politic. I got 110 cases in the public record I found from the Department of Justice. Because under the Articles of Confederation, there is no executive, there's no judicial. Doesn't exist. That's where we are today. It's all an illusion. It's the Matrix. But when we can tie in citizens of the United States with no rights of suffrage and no limits on Congress taxation, and they're subject to the Internal Revenue Code inside and outside of D.C., and we use the Voter Registration Act to where the states are legislating for a citizen of the United States because that is, in the 14th Amendment, limited strictly to Congress. But we are a municipal entity because we signed up for it. These guys lied to us. Unbelievable. Thank God for the National Voter Registration Act of 1933 and the Buck Act, 1940, and the 1939 Salary Act. By the way, the Buck Act only uses 1939 code. It don't even use any of the modern stuff. Isn't that amazing? Even today in the code. They don't use the definitions out of the 1939 code stuff. Why is that? We're stuck in the past. We just the Internal Revenue Code Title 26 is a ruse basically. The definition of withholding agent is helpful, but they don't use it. I got Mertens on the tax evasion. It's unbelievable. Anyway, I hope you learned something. Shock the living heck out of you. Have a happy new year, and God willing, we will see you next year. And watch out for the federales. They're everywhere.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.